So without further ado, I'd like to invite Wildcats Vice President and Director of Athletics, Desiree Reed Francois.
Well, we've got a packed house. This is awesome. Thank you all so very much for being here. This is a great day for Arizona athletics, and this is a great day for our women's basketball program. You know, I have a couple of thank yous, so you're going to have to indulge me. But first, I would like to thank Arizona Board of Regents Chair Cecilia Mata for her wisdom and guidance throughout the process. I'd also like to say thank you to our Executive Director of ABOR, Chad Sampson, and our entire Board of Regents. A special thank you to President Suresh Garamella for his leadership and steadfast support of our student athletes, our mission, and our future. This decision reflects the alignment we share in building something extraordinary at the University of Arizona. I also want to thank our search committee who are here today for their time, their integrity, their 4 a.m. phone calls sometimes, and their thoughtful leadership. This was a national search, and we approached it with the care and the rigor it deserved. I'm incredibly grateful to each of the following individuals: our faculty athletic rep, Dr. Ricardo Valerdi, Coach Mike Candrea. Where's Coach Candrea? I know, there he is, there we go. Sam Thomas, who is here today. Where's Sam? There she is. Thank you, Sam. She flew in from Kansas City today, so thank you again for being here and being such an instrumental part. To Kristen Arquila, I always want to do the double L's there. Rachel Blunt, Bud Sasser, Morgan Dominic, who is like 9.5 months pregnant. thank you, Morgan. All of your insights just truly helped guide us with clarity and purpose every step of the way. I also want to express appreciation to the women's basketball community, former coaches, student athletes, and national leaders who offered their wisdom and support throughout the process. I especially want to thank Debbie Yao, Muffet McGraw, Debbie Antonelli, Coach Bonvicini, and of course, Rocky LaRose. Thank you. Their passion for the game, for this program, helped shape a thoughtful, expedient, and informed search. And of course, I want to thank Adia Barnes for everything she has given to the University of Arizona as a student athlete, as a head coach, and as a community leader. Her legacy will always be a part of Arizona women's basketball, and we're deeply grateful for her impact. Now, when we began this search, we were clear and intentional about the type of leader we were seeking for Arizona women's basketball. We were looking for five characteristics: a proven winner with a track record of success and a hunger to compete. We were looking for an elite recruiter who can attract and develop top-tier talent. We were looking for a coach with passion and skill for player development, both on and off the court. All right, we talk about high, low, high. We were looking for a high, low, high leader, someone of high character, low ego, high outcome and energy. Someone with who was organized, detailed, disciplined, with a clear and forward-thinking plan. And finally, someone who can thrive in the modern era of college athletics. Someone who is student-athlete focused, adaptable, and prepared to lead in this incredibly transformative time. We met with exceptional candidates across the country. We listened closely, we evaluated thoroughly, and through it all, Coach Becky Burke stood out. You know, one moment that stayed with me was when I asked Becky, why does she coach? She didn't lead with the wins or the accolades. She talked about what women's basketball did for her and how deeply she believes, like in her core, in her DNA, in paying it forward. She spoke about impacting young women, not only as athletes, but as strong, empowered leaders. Her purpose, her passion, and her clarity in that moment was unmistakable. That was when I knew we had the right leader for our esteemed program. Becky is dynamic. She is disciplined. She is driven. She is a proven program builder who knows how to win and how to win the right way. Her energy is contagious. Her vision is bold. Her standards are high. She is a teacher, a strategist, and a connector. She is a leader student athletes can believe in with their full heart and soul. Coach, we are thrilled to welcome you. We're thrilled to welcome Savannah and your whole family. Banks is my new best friend. and your whole staff to the Wildcat community. We cannot wait to stand beside you as we write this next chapter in Arizona women's basketball, and we're fired up to hang banners. So without further ado, bear down, welcome home our next women's basketball coach. Let's give it up. Good evening. Good evening. First and foremost, just a couple quick thank yous. You know, thank you to the University of Buffalo, where I spent the last 3 years of my career, and our players, our staff, the administration there, for a transformational 3 years in my career and in my life. I appreciate everybody. I'm so thankful for my time there, and appreciative to Coach Barnes and her staff. You know, for building such a special thing here, and for, you know, contributing to such a rich tradition in women's basketball. I'm always very, very aware of people that have come before me, and very, you know, just thankful for the path and the vision and what's led us to today. You know, and just very, very excited to be here. Just thrilled to be here. I mean, the University of Arizona, one of the most rich, historic basketball traditions in the country. Elite leadership and vision for athletics, academic excellence, and in a location that you cannot put a price tag on. And I can say that. I can say that now, coming from snow yesterday, okay? People in my profession, they work their entire life to get a job at this level. But I didn't want a job. I wanted the job. Being the head coach at the University of Arizona is the job. It is my honor. It is my privilege, and I'm humbled, and I'm so blessed for this opportunity. I want to thank our president. I want to thank the board, the entire search committee, who Desiree just hit on. You know, for your time and effort to make this happen. I know it takes a village, and I just thank you guys so much for making this possible. I mean, Desiree, from the first 5 minutes we spoke, I knew you were the person I wanted to lead me in my career. And I knew you were who I wanted to work for. I could tell you had a servant's heart and a love for people, but your confidence, your high standards, and your pursuit for greatness is what makes me fired up to be in this building with you and on this campus with you. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for this opportunity, and just trusting me with this program. I also want to thank God, my amazing wife, Savannah, my aunts, my uncle, my mom and my dad, obviously our son Banks, he's hopefully napping right now. None of this would be possible without you guys. You guys have been there every step of the way. Savannah, I mean, I'm not me without you, and I love you, and I appreciate you so much. From the moment my dad put a basketball in my hands when I was a little girl, like, I fell in love with this game. This game has done so much for me, and it's given me so much as a player, and it's given me even more as a head coach. And like Desiree hit on, my goal every day is to pay that forward and to pay it back. My goal every day is to impact lives, shape young women in the way that I was impacted, in the way that I was shaped by my coaches. It changed my life forever. And it's my job to make sure that continues with everybody that I get to impact on a daily basis within our program, and within this community. And that's my goal. That's my goal here. That's what I'm trying to do and what we will do. You know, to the fans, just to get to know me a little bit and a couple of the very key things that you need to know about me and what you're getting out of your new women's basketball coach. I am in the top 1% of competitive people on the planet, okay? That comes down to winning national championships or eating dinner,
I mean, it doesn't, I don't turn it off. I don't know anything different. So that's one, you're getting a high level competitor. I'm the same way as a coach as I was as a player. You can go back and watch the film of me on the court. It's going to look very similar to what it looks like on the sideline. Secondly, no one will ever outwork me. I am going to be the hardest worker in the room, every room I walk into, and I take a tremendous amount of pride in that. And no one's ever going to outwork us, because I'm hoping that you know, our team takes a little bit of the personality that I have in terms of just work ethic, right? And then I think the last thing, the key thing that people need to know about me and what I'm promising you guys that I'm going to bring here is I have one speed, and that's full speed. I have one speed, that's full speed, and I have one way, and that's all in. You know, we're going to hit this thing, the ground running. We already have full speed and all in. And those are the two things that I am for you guys and for the University of Arizona. So full transparency. Also, just side note, get ready for a lot of passion, a lot of energy, a few chest bumps and flexes on the sideline. But that's who I am and who I hope you guys will learn to love and embrace, you know, within our program. And our staff's bringing that exact same thing. I'm just telling you guys right now. Okay. Our team's going to be gritty, tough, hard-nosed, and disciplined. And I want that to be something that you pick up on from the first 5 minutes of the first quarter we play this season. Our standards and accountability will be extremely high. And the product on the floor is going to be one that you guys are going to be really, really proud of. Not only the product on the floor, but the product in the community, the relationships you guys are able to build with the young women in our program who are phenomenal young women with character. We're going, no one's going to play harder than us. No one will be more prepared than we will. We're going to execute well. We're going to be great teammates. We're going to love on the fans. We're going to do it all, and we do it together. It's truly going to take everybody. It's going to take our community. It's going to take our team doing their part. It's going to take our administration. It's going to take our fan base. It's going to take our alums. But if we can do this all together, and we all really, really believe what Arizona women's basketball can be, I don't see any reason that we don't just reclaim our spot among the nation's elite. That's where we belong. That's why I'm here. And that's what I promise you every single day I will work my butt off to achieve. So I'm fired up. I'm thrilled. I'm so humbled. I'm ready to get to work. It's already been working, you know, and just moving forward. I just can't wait to meet everybody and you know, just make you guys extremely proud. So I'm going to leave you with something I literally just made up in my head, but it'll be BDB, bear down, baby. Okay, that's what I'm gonna leave you guys with. So thank you guys so much. I appreciate this room is impressive and the support. I appreciate it. And if this is an indication of what I'm walking into, I think I understand why I chose this place, and I'm very excited about it. So thank you guys so much, everybody. Thank you so much.
Coach, at this time we'll take questions from the media members in attendance. When you when doing so, please raise your hand so we can get the microphone to you. And when addressing Coach Burke, please state your name and affiliation.
Hi, Kim Doss, Arizona Desert Swarm. Becky, this is in a NIL world, yeah, these days, and portal world.
Yeah.
And since this is so late in that kind of hiring process, you're left with a depleted roster. Mm-hmm. How are you going to, what's around you, the support, how can you get that where it needs to be for Big 12 competition?
Yeah, I'm very aware of what I walked into. I'm very aware of the roster situation, and I'm very aware of the support. And I wouldn't choose to be here and be standing in front of you guys if there was not the support needed to help us be competitive this season. You know, I believe in our staff and what we're going to do and how we're going to be able to hit the ground running and recruiting. And I'm very aware of what I walked into, and like to your point, the support, and it is there, and I'm appreciative and thankful.
Erica, PHNX. We've talked a lot about you being Becky the Builder. You've built a lot of programs up, and so I was just curious, what is your ideal blueprint for a player that you're bringing in from the portal?
Yeah, I think obviously we're just looking for high character, high talent level, you know, and I don't think you can, there's a certain framework right now in the world of the transfer portal. We need to get obviously very, very talented players, but they have to be the right character. They have to be wired like we want our players wired here. They have to be in pursuit of championships. They have to be great students, you know. So there's such a broad spectrum of players in the portal right now and where they come from and why they're in there. And I couldn't give you a here's exactly what they need to look like answer. We vet them. We build those relationships. You know, we make sure that they're the right people for our staff, for our program, for this community and this university.
Hey, Becky. Chris Brown, AZ Bandcat Sports. Now you're just getting settled and welcomed into the community, but have you had a chance to reach out to any of the players who are currently in the portal from Arizona? And if so, what's been the message to those players and an opportunity to get them back?
Yeah, I think this is home for them. They are welcome here, you know, just wanting them to know that and wanting to, obviously, first and foremost, thank them for everything they've done during their time here. Support them in coming back if that's what they choose to do, and obviously supporting them in moving on if that's what they choose to do. Ultimately, you know, just making sure they know they have a home here, they're appreciated, they're respected, and whatever decision they make, that we support that moving forward. But yeah, it's an important thing to make sure that you do reach out to the current players in there and the ones that are back, and we've done that, and yeah, so fully supportive and appreciative of all those guys.
Michael Lev, Arizona Daily Star. When did you first realize that you wanted to be a coach, and how would you describe your professional path climbing up through the ranks?
Yeah, I think playing for Jeff Walls at Louisville was so inspiring every single day. Like, the man is brilliant. And seeing how we game planned, seeing how we practiced, you know, how he went over a scouting report, how he put us in positions to be successful. He made us believe we were better than we were every single day. It was inspiring, I guess, to say the least. You know, so that's probably when I knew I wanted to be a coach, is when I was just so just in love with the process by being under him as a player. And then I think just describing my career path would be, you know, the unconventional route. And I think it would have been very easy, very, very easy to leave Louisville and have Jeff call a Power Five school and get me an assistant coaching job at a really, really high level, you know, but I didn't want that. I didn't want him to feed me with a silver spoon because I was a high level player and I had achieved a lot. I wanted to grind and I wanted to do it from the ground up. And I didn't want help, and I wanted to prove that I could win no matter where I was. So I took the unconventional route. I started a couple hours up the road at an NAIA school that didn't even have a women's basketball program. And I wanted that challenge. And then, you know, from there, got my first Division II opportunity. And from there, got my first Division I opportunity. And from there, got a better Division I opportunity. And now to be somewhere that is the pinnacle of where you want to be in your career in this profession. I look back and I'm proud that Jeff didn't hand me a job, and proud that I earned it, and that's who I am. I want to earn everything I get. I'm going to earn everything that I get here as well. Nothing's going to be handed to us. I'm blue collar. Roll the sleeves up. That's what you guys will learn about me, and I'm proud to say that that's been, you know, kind of what my career has been made up of as well.
Becky, Damian Alameda, 13 News. Welcome to Tucson, first and foremost.
Thank you.
What about the financial resources allocated towards women's basketball here at Arizona makes you confident that Arizona can continue to remain competitive, not just within the Big 12, but within this college landscape?
Confidence in our leadership and the vision and the conversations, you know, that we've had that obviously are between, you know, the people that need to know the information. And so I would not be here if I wasn't confident in Desiree and the position that they're going to put our program in to be successful. And it's important that you have things, but I also think you don't need everything. I've never been anywhere where I've had the most or the best, and I'm not saying we don't, but like I said, I prefer it the hard way, and we're going to get it done, and we're going to find a way, and I'm going to roll my sleeves up and figure it out. But the support is there, the vision is there, and the conversations have been had.
Jason Shearer, Wildcat Authority. You've been around programs that have turned around. Is there a common theme in how you have to approach a rebuild overall?
Culture, standards, accountability, 24/7, not taking a day off from that. And I don't. And it starts with me from the top down. So that's the magic formula. It's hard to tell kids every day to tuck their shirt in when I'm tired, and my son kept me up all night, and I don't want to tell him, and just let the shirt be untucked. No, tuck your shirt in. That's who I am, and it's 24/7, 365. So it's culture, accountability, standards, discipline, to answer your question in short.
Hi, Bruce Pascoe, Arizona Daily Star. My question's a little like Damian's, but along the lines of resources, do you feel like, you say you're confident, but I didn't know, like, when you hit the ground, do you have to go out and raise money right away to be able to recruit some of these players, or, you know, where do you feel like there's already enough in place to get a team together?
Like I said, I feel tremendously supported in the conversations that we've had, and you know, we're going to be thrilled to announce our recruiting class, and every case is different with every player and every situation we're walking into when we talk to kids, and I think those things you know, are discussions between the people that need to have them, and they've been had, like I said. So yeah, I feel very confident.
Michael Smith for the Daily Wildcat. Where do you see this program, like, if everything goes according to plan, where do you see this program in the next couple of years?
I asked Desiree this when we were sitting on my interview, and her answer is the reason I'm standing here. I said, hey, like, next 3 to 5, where do you want this program to be? Looks me dead in the face, no smile, competing for a national championship. I don't want to be anywhere where that's not the standard and the expectation. That's a room full of people that think like that, that I want to be in, you know? And I've been places where, like, oh, it's okay, tough game, you know, oh, like, you just floated around 500. Like, it's not okay. No, don't pat me on the back and tell me it is okay. I want to win. I want to win everywhere that I am, everywhere that I go, every game that we play.
Erin Patterson, KGUN 9 News. You walked us through your coaching career, and then you also mentioned earlier how you didn't just want a job, you wanted the job,
yeah,
and said that this was the job. So when you were first getting started in your coaching career, was that your mindset to eventually end up here?
No. And if it was, I'd still be at Embry-Riddle, you know, and that there would be nothing wrong with that. But I've been 2 feet in, I've been 2 feet on the ground everywhere that I've been, and it's never been like, okay, I got to win in 2 years to get out of here. And so many people that are at the NAIA level or the Division II level or the lower Division I level, that's their only goal. How can I get to the elite? How can I get to the Power Four level? I've never once thought like that, including a week ago. That's never been my mindset. I want to be the best where I am every single day. Like, I've coached every team that I've ever had for the last 10 years like I'm the head coach at a Power Four school. Like, my poor NAIA kids, and two of them are here today and going to join me on staff. I coached them like we were at Louisville, and I'm not getting this job and, like, changing who I am and how I do things. It's been a 10-year. It's just who I am, how we do it, no matter what, you know. But I've never had that. And when I'm 35, I need to be standing on this podium at this university. And if I did, I'm a firm believer I would not be here right now.
And this is for both of you about the resources thing, because fans have talked about how they wanted to help this program in the past and didn't feel like they got get information on how to do that. So what is your plan in that sense? If House Settlement, we know all that.
Well, I think there's a little bit of a misperception.
Yeah.
First, Mike right there, Mike Smith is right there. He will gladly take any and all checks. But in all, you know, we are, I think, we are number one in terms of assistant coaches' salary pool. We are top third in terms of overall operating budget in the Big 12. We are also top third when it comes to overall NIL/rep share. So this is a well-resourced program. And if we're going to have competitive expectations and championship expectations, we know we got to provide the resources and the support. But we also are never going to be that program that talks about excuses.
Nothing to add. I think that was said beautifully.
Just following up on what you said about early in your career, could you detail a little of what it was like at Embry-Riddle, and was there any resources there? Did you recruit? What was that like?
So 24 years old, land in Phoenix. I came out from Indiana. I was assistant coaching at that point, and they rented me a Kia Soul. It was lime green, and I drove up the hill. I'm like, where am I? Where am I going? But 24 years old, you know, had a lot of support and a great people there, but, you know, threw me in an office and said, start a program. Arguably the most valuable 3 years of my entire career, because I had to put my head down and figure it out and find a way. Resources, I mean, yeah, I think in comparison to the NAIA world, there was resources there, but you're also recruiting to an aeronautical university that has no women's basketball program. So we have aeronautical business. Let's go get some business majors that can make some layups. And like, we just figured it out and we attacked it the way that we thought. And I say we, but it was just me. So the way that I thought we should have. And it worked out, but so thankful for my time there. And just like I was telling them from the beginning, to come back to where it all began for me has been really special.
Just following up, I'm sorry. Just how do you find out, how do you recruit? Like, you find a list of people that are going there anyway, or do you scour some things and find out who's interested in aeronautical and see if they can play, or how does that work?
Yeah, same way you would recruit to any other program. You're going to go to the exposure events, and I wasn't sitting at the courts that Arizona was sitting at trying to find kids, I promise you that, but they're there, you know, and it's the work you put in and the grind, you know, you know, I've been in a lot of places with a lot of challenges, and that's why it's exciting to be at a place like this where there aren't very many that I can think of.
Final questions have come from Michael. Yeah, this situation obviously isn't the same as that one, but there is a commonality in that you're kind of starting from scratch from a roster standpoint. So how do you go about building a roster, and what is your timetable for getting that done?
You're probably the last question because I need to get back to my phone, and that's the answer of how we're going to attack the roster situation. I mean, we're attacking it. I'm grinding, you know, probably 3 hours of sleep the last two nights, but I love it, right? Like, we have to fill a roster, but I think it's very appealing to recruits right now to come to a place like this with what we have here, who we have here, with an opportunity to play. You know, the best thing about not having a roster is there's a lot of minutes available, you know, so it's how you attack it, how you just think about things versus, and I told them, like, everywhere that I've been, it's a complete rebuild from the studs, and it's going to be no different here, and I don't expect the result to be any different in a couple years either. Tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning. We're tomorrow morning, and it's a good one. It's a good one. Final thought. Thank you, everybody. I'm looking forward to getting to know everybody. I'm looking forward to building relationships, getting out into the community. That's something that's so important to me, and I am thankful to be your head women's basketball coach more so than anything. And just fired up to be started, get started, and just, you know, immerse ourselves and our family into this community. So thank you guys so much for the support, and we'll see everybody soon.